I was like, this guy's not he's not following the Constitution. But then when he wants to go out there and change the rules, I mean, he sounds, that's what a Democrat does. That's what Democrats do. How many times you got to be slapped in the face and make to wake up? But then you got people like Sean Hannity out there and Glenn Beck that are just praising this nonsense, and they're not going to go near it.
Welcome to the All-American Savage Show podcast with your host, John Burke, and his far more attractive co-host, me. Now, let's get into it. That's what your mom said.
Welcome back to the All-American Savage Show podcast. I am your host, John Burke, here on this beautiful Tuesday. We got some Powerwolf, Killers with the Cross. Got a lot of requests for that one. A lot of people really love that song. Definitely slaps. I dig it. I like it a lot. How you doing today, folks? Sorry I couldn't be on the show yesterday. We had no show because Josh and I had to head downtown to get a certificate of occupancy for a new location we're opening up in downtown Dallas for Shell Shock. And as you can imagine, it's like pulling teeth and like walking in these places, these, if you've never been to downtown Dallas, God bless you. You're probably, you greatly reduce your likelihood of catching some type of disease. These places are disgusting. Just like old rundown buildings. The workers have like no life in their eyes. You can tell it's just like, you don't enjoy what you do, which I don't think I would either if I worked for the state, to be perfectly honest with you. And it's just like, you go in there and you feel just motivation for life just plummet. It's like, I wonder how many suicides have occurred in this building, because it's just, it's like that building out of Office Space, you know? It's crazy. Not Office Space, the one with Tom Hanks, where he's like, the lights are sucking out my eyeballs. I forget the name of the movie. But it's basically like that. So, went down there for 3 hours, stood in line just to get told that we got to do this, and this. It's just a pain. So much paperwork and nonsense. Just to open up a business. It's you know, it still just surprises me how much bureaucracy we have to go through to practice our rights in this country, much less our state. And yeah, and that's where we are. Josh will be a little bit later today. He's playing babysitter dad. He's on his own, so let him be in your prayers. Hopefully you're having a great day. Hopefully it's a beautiful day. Woke up, a cold front blew in here in Texas. Again, just like true Texas weather. Give it 5 minutes, it'll change. It's a beautiful day outside now. Hopefully you're having a wonderful day where you're at. Oh, do my Do me a favor. Do that thing that you know I like with your finger and hit that retweet, like, and share button. That helps grow the show. God knows we need it this day and age. We need more actual conservative slash constitutional-based voices, specifically on Twitter and places like this, because God knows the grift just continues to grift with the likes of Kirk Owens, Tucker Carlson, the rest of these people that have just went off the reservation into the land of stupidity. You have to be on Twitter to kind of see this, see what they're saying. Tucker goes on Joe Rogan and talks about all kinds of just ridiculousness. Candace Owens is now questioning the narrative of the Holocaust. And you just look at these people, and it's like, this is what happens when you give stupid people platforms, quite honestly. They're able to fool you for the longest period of time because if you think about it, they kind of regurgitate what's already been said to a degree. They have no original thoughts of their own. And so, you know, you see the insane levels of stupidity just growing, and it's just, it makes you wonder. It really makes you wonder, like, who raises these people? Like, seriously. These people are just pathetic. It's sad to see, but either way, we got a lot of news to cover today. Anti-Semitism on the rise. I've never seen it this bad before, but what do you say to this? It's just stupid people, quite honestly. Stupid. Like, the people are going after, like, Zionists, and it just blows my mind that people just even give a damn about that. Does Italy have a right to exist? Does Chile, all these countries. But if Israel says they want to have a right to exist, then people are like, oh, you're a Zionist. It's like, it just doesn't make sense to me. I don't get it. Israel's already established. Whatever. I don't want to support them. I mean, they're allies. I get it. But America does need to come first. And I kind of feel like in the light of what Speaker Mike Johnson just did, it feels like there is not an actual America First movement in this country at all. It sincerely doesn't. Like, who is actually standing up for American principles? We've got Congress waving Ukrainian flags on the House floor once this $92 trillion spending bill gets passed. Or six, what, a billion? Was it $60 billion to Ukraine, $30 billion to Israel, $8 billion to Taiwan? I mean, come on. Where is this America First movement? I thought it was MAGA. But Trump comes out and backs Johnson again. And you keep sitting here wondering, what the hell happened to the Republican Party? We've been infested with these uniparty people. It's disgusting. I saw your picture on your IG story. Carrie Lake is a bit of a mess. Oh, Carrie Lake is not a conservative. She's the furthest thing from it. You're seeing a lot of people understand and recognize the fact that you can come from the left, come to the right, specifically if you're black or a minority at some point, and you can make it, you can make bank. You can make serious money. That's what's going on right now. And conservatives have become so, I want to say, used to taking beatings that when you see somebody from the opposing political side come over to your side, it's kind of like a victory. So you kind of raise them up, you give them attention. And they count on this. They know this. They understand this. And what do? They use this to their advantage. This happens so many different times. But here we are, you know? It's crazy. But rest assured, I mean, we'll get through this, America. We will get through this. Don't let any doomer out there tell you that we're not going to... We will get through this. This is not, you know, people always say it's the greatest election of our lifetime. I could have swore they said that last election. I could have swore they said that the last election before that. The greatest election of our lifetime. Nah, I'd say elections are important. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they're not. But America will survive after this. Whether we get 4 years of Trump or 4 more years of Biden, we will survive. I think the question instead that we should be asking ourselves is, where do we want to see our party? Where do we want to see our nation in, say, 6 years? I don't think Americans have a lot of foresight with a lot of these local elections, a lot of these congressional elections, is saying, okay, how has this guy voted before? How has this woman voted before? Instead of, like, looking at their record and where they stand, we instead are focusing, we're hyperfixating on whether or not they back Trump or not. This is it for Trump. If Trump doesn't get reelected, this is it. He's not running again after. They'll be too old. If Trump gets elected, fine. We got 4 years of Trump. We'll see. I mean, certainly 4 years of Trump will be better than 4 years of Biden. There's no denying that. But 4 years of Trump, I'm very curious to see. Now, mark my words here, folks. I'm very curious to see what the GOP is going to turn into. We've already scapped on, you know, DeSantis. That's not going to happen. I feel like when it came to constitutionality, he was the closest option we had. Fine. But we're not going to, Iowa determined differently. Okay. But now, I think it's very crude. Let me just read you this tweet that I tweeted out yesterday. I think it would be, it's got a lot of shares. And I appreciate everybody that shared it. And also everybody that shares the Twitter show. Thank you for that. But I want to read you this tweet. Because I think it bears repeating that people need to understand where it is that people like me come from. Right here. I tweeted this yesterday. I said, I don't mind that once DeSantis supporters are now voting Trump. I get that. Like I said, I understand that. I'm not against that. I totally understand why a lot of ex-DeSantis, I shouldn't even say ex, it's that I think a lot of us are constitutionally principled, and we saw DeSantis as the closest thing to that, so therefore we went to DeSantis. But I'm not going to be one of these DeSantis fangirls that's going to say, like, you know, he's our Reagan. I'm not like that with politicians. I'm like that with the Constitution. I said, I don't mind that once DeSantis supporters are now voting Trump. I expected it and honestly support your decision. I take literally no issue with that. But the issues I take are the one-time DeSantis supporters that were pointing out accurately, might I add, the faults of Trump are now bragging for him. I've seen this. People that were like hardcore anti-Trump pro-DeSantis, now that DeSantis is out, they turn into hardcore pro-Trump. I'm sorry, I don't have any respect for you. Because what that tells me is that your criticisms of Trump were not, you weren't truthful with them. You were just saying what people wanted to hear. The criticisms that I give on this show are very accurate. This is not John Burke, Trump derangement syndrome. I list out the examples why I don't support Trump on this. The Second Amendment, the support of the lockdowns, the jab, supporting Mike Johnson. So this is not saying that just John Burke hates Donald Trump. This is John Burke loves the Constitution. And for somebody to run on a ticket on our side that is not exemplifying conservative values, specifically constitutional ones, then if you don't speak out against it, then you're implicit with it. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. Now, when Trump runs, if he gets elected, you better believe I'll give him credit when he does right. But when he's wrong, every single one of you have a patriotic, nay, constitutional duty to call him out. Because if you do not, then you get whatever we have now in the GOP. Trump did a quote today. He said, you know, I like Mike Johnson. He's doing what I tweeted out. He's doing what he can. He supported me big time before. I was like, well, I don't care if he supported you before, Trump. It doesn't matter. What he just did undermined what conservatives across this nation want. But where are these conservative influencers calling him out? I saw a friend of mine, Defiant Baptist. I got it right this time. I'm sorry. Last time I called him Baptiste. I apologize for that. He's going at it with the likes of Chad Prather. Chad Prather comes out and says it's a loan. That's his defense of this. There's always a defense. There's always a defense. Every single time there's a defense. There's some way of trying to justify something that is not actually America first. But Prather goes out there and goes after Defiant Baptist and says, ah, well, you know, it's on his Twitter. It's hilarious to me. Chad, I'm here to tell you, I'm not faceless. I stand in opposition to what Trump and Mike Johnson have done. And I'm certainly not going to try and justify to the American people this money that is going into pockets of other people across the oceans that there's literally no oversight on. I'm not faceless and you know my name. We used to be friends. But Defiant Baptist is 100% correct here. 100% correct. This whole MAGA, make America great again, well, I don't recall it saying making Ukraine great again. Is Putin really that scary to all of you? Just nuts. Nuts. Nuts to me. I'm going to continue reading the tweet. No, you can hold your nose and vote how you'd like. I get that. But don't suddenly gaslight everyone with your BS clamoring over him now. I don't buy it. And for the same DeSantis supporters that are now voting Trump, that are tired of hearing people like me, there's something that you need to understand. I am not a DeSantis supporter. I'm a Constitution supporter, and Ron was the closest option that we had. He's clearly out of the race, so I'm not going to sit here and hope that somehow he'll get back in. I'm not a Q type. The criticisms of Trump didn't and don't come because Ron decided to run. They came because they're fair and accurate criticisms with or without Ron being there. So no, we're not DeSantis supporters just trying to hate on Trump. We're actual constitutionalists that are holding leaders to a standard. If you cannot handle that, then you need to reevaluate your political compass. And that is truth. That is so true. If you, and again, you think that, you know, conservatives on the right that are criticizing Trump, you think that comes from a place of them wanting Joe Biden to win? I'm sorry, but when you can't criticize a person, that's your king. That's your anointed one. Criticisms are justified and needed. If you don't, well, then they're going to run buckshot. And again, you got what you got now. A house that is very, it's on its ass. We have a very blindly going GOP. There's no guidance. There's no leadership. There's no direction. There's nothing. We've got Matt Gaetz out there. And, you know, it blows my mind how Matt Gaetz isn't being held accountable. He got us into the situation. He helped it. Unseats McCarthy. What do we got? I mean, until America has all of its problems, for the most part, the serious problems taken care of, our border closed, the fentanyl crisis dealt with, many, many various, I mean, infrastructure in America. Wasn't that long ago we noticed all the train accidents that people were trying to blame on China. Or maybe it's the fact that, you know, what is it called? Was it Occam's Theory? Occam's Razor? Maybe a lot of this isn't conspiracy. Maybe the fact that our government has been neglecting this country for a very, 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 very long time. Maybe it's because so much of our money is going overseas when it could be put to much better use. And the fact that the government doesn't feel this way tells me the government is out of touch with the people. And if it's out of touch with people, with our current elected representatives that are trying to back the likes of Trump, who backs the likes of Mike Johnson, then I'm sorry, then we no longer have a party that is of the people. This is populism 101. Let's get into today's news. Right off the bat. I wanted to bring this one. Now, I talked about this before. This is where I disagree with DeSantis on this one. DeSantis says Satanism is not real and not qualifying for New Florida school chaplain program. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis gestures during a news conference in Miami. Last week, Republican governor signed two bills into law known as HB 1317 and HB 931, legislation first introduced by Republicans in Florida State House this January and December, respectively. HB 1317 pushed for patriotic organizations to have voluntary representation in K-12 schools, and HB 931 specifically pushed for approval of access to public schools by voluntary chaplains. For proponents, the bills, as written, were a chance for patriotic organizations to speak to students, distribute certain materials, and provide opportunities for certain displays regarding to the patriotic organization, among other goals. Related coverage, some of those patriotic organizations included the Big Brothers Big Sisters of America, as well as Boy Scouts of America and Boy Scouts Club of America, the Marine Corps League, the Navy SEAL Cadet Corps, and a statement from the government office's notice. Excuse me. Under the law, parents are permitted to select a volunteer chaplain from a list provided by the school district in Florida. That list must show a chaplain's religious affiliation, if any. Chaplains will also be assigned by the district school board or a charter school's governing board. Critics and opponents, however, argue that the Chaplain Bill, in particular, is a ham-handed, unconstitutional end run around the separation of church and state and stands to violate the religious freedom rights of families and students throughout Florida. The American Civil Liberties Union noted in a statement last month before DeSantis signed the bill into law that often chaplains are neither trained nor certified to provide educational or counseling services to young people. Students are likely to receive inadequate mental health support and that in some cases may be harmful, the organization said. Well, of course they're going to say that. They're going to try and discredit DeSantis on those grounds, which I think are, nah, you're going to lose that one. I will say this instead. I would just say that I don't, here's the deal. DeSantis has already come out and put himself, he's a governing figure. Don't get me wrong. He's a governing figure, but he's already put himself in this role of saying, we determine that Satanism is not a religion. Now, this is where we get into the weeds and it confuses some people. So let me explain myself just before I even get into this, because I know it's going to happen. I don't support Satanism. Do I think it's a religion? I actually do. I think these people legitimately worship Satan. Now, other people could say, oh, it's not actual worshiping Satan. It's anarchy. You can conflate it with as many different cosmetic types of points as you want. That's fine. That's fine. Either way, it's a religion to me. Now, the governing body has decided they're going to take it upon themselves to determine what is or is not a religion. Now, we can favor this, being it favors Christianity. I understand that positioning. And quite honestly, I am just going to be flat out 100% real with you right now. More and more people are starting to lean that way. They're starting to lean the way of it's no longer constitutionally sound. Now it's we're in a fight. We're in a fight with the degeneracy of the left, of the evildoers out there. And it's time to start like making them illegal, banning the stuff. Now, I understand the allure of that position. And quite frankly, I think more and more people are adopting that position. I think they really are. There's no denying it. I mean, hell, DeSantis is doing it right now. But I think the other side of this, though, is that you are now giving the government more power, the legislative body more power, to vote on what they feel is or is not a religion. Well, folks, again, this sword swings two ways. What happens if eventually there's less Christians in Congress or in a legislative body, and they start banning Christian stuff? It can easily, I mean, look at Michigan. Look what's going on with freaking brother lover, Ilhan Omar, and her little serpent seed offspring. It's entirely possible, folks. Entirely possible. But I don't know where I stand anymore on this, because now I just look at what's happened when these people, you know, when people don't respect the Constitution, we get this. When people are trying to interject their religion into everything, we get this. Or their sexuality, their identity, their nonsense, we get this. Schools have now turned into indoctrinational platforms that you send your kids off to be brainwashed and you pay for it on top of that, which is just sad. Just really sad. More and more, I think people are like, let me check real quick. What are the homeschool rates? Have homeschool rates gone up? And I'd say the last 10 years, I'm curious. Let's look. Well, naturally during the pandemic, it went up 33%. In states with a comparable enrollment figures, the number of homeschooling students increased 51% over the past six school years, far outpacing the 7%. That makes sense to me. It's increased by what might be as much as 51% over the past six academic years. So that doesn't cover just COVID. That's before and after COVID. People are starting to homeschool. That makes sense to me. I get it. You know, a lot of people can't afford privatized school or a Christian school, which I think, you know, if we're going to have this religious argument, then you can have a private satanic temple if you want. I'm sure they already do. Who knows? And you can send your little hell spawn there. But then again, you know, we get into this very slippery argument of, you know, the Christians believe in, like, what fellowship does light have with darkness? Why do you let this be? Well, if basically, the foundation of this argument is that if they don't agree with Christianity, then they're not with us. So then if we're going to take that positioning towards the Church of Satan's temple, then you've got to take the same positioning with Islam. Because it's not, is it the degree to which they're wrong? Or is it just at the wrong period? So it's like, okay, well, Islam is wrong. And truth be told, Islam's probably murdered way more Christians than Satan worshipers ever have, to be completely frank. So it doesn't make sense to me. Maybe it's because the word Satan's in there and that instantly creates this response of, oh, no, they're bad, which they are. Don't get me wrong. These are bad people. I'm sorry. You cannot sit there and say that you're from the Church of Satan and convince me that you're a morally sound and good person. No, you are not. You have problems. So, again, my question is, to what degree of wrong do they have to be before you say, hey, they should be banned because they're a threat, because they're dangerous? It's a very, very slippery slope. And truth be told, I kind of feel like, man, it's just like this Constitution is just, it's wavering. It's wavering. Because people that continuously violate it, meanwhile the rest of us are trying to abide by it, it's like you're playing by the rules, yet they're not, and they get away with whatever they want. It's crazy. Trump slams anti-Israel protests as disgrace that are all Biden's fault ahead of Manhattan court. The Groypers don't know what to do with that. Nick Fuentes and his little crew of homosexuals don't know what to do with that. A lot of anti-Semite conservatives that are showing themselves don't know what to do with this. This is what I love. Like, a lot of these people, it's the confusion of their movement. They're hardcore MAGA people, and they're in there. You got the Fuentes and the rest of them, the alt-right, the anti-Semitic racists out there. And they are massively against Jews. They're massively against Israel. And this isn't one of those things that, like, they're against Israel saying, we don't want to support Israel. It's like, no, they don't like Jews. There is a difference. There's a clear contrastual difference here. But then again, you turn around, you back Trump, who is massively pro-Israel, and you never call him out. You never call him out. It's hilarious to me. But Trump has got something here that he should definitely take advantage of. This is something that he needs to utilize. If I was in his team, I'd say, hit this more. You need to be hitting this more. He said, what's going on at college level, Columbia, NYU, and others, is a disgrace, and it's really on Biden, Trump said Tuesday morning outside the courtroom. He's not wrong there. He got the words wrong. He doesn't know who he's backing, and it's a mess. And if this were me, they'd be after me. They'd be after me so much, but they're trying to get him a pass. What's going on is a disgrace to our country, and it's all Biden's fault, and everybody knows it. He's got no message. He's got no compassion and doesn't know what he's doing, Trump continued, adding Biden is the worst president in the history of our country. I mean, he's not wrong. This is because of Biden. This is what happens, folks. When you fence it and you're trying to just work your way through it and give it time, you got to pick a side on some of these issues. You're either pro-Israel or you're pro-Palestine. Which is it? And there's a lot of leftists that are actually massively pro-Palestine, and to include some conservatives like the likes of Candace Owens, a Hamas supporter. They try and make this argument that, oh, Palestine and Hamas, they're not the same. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. You just don't want to believe that because you believe in this idea that, oh, no, there's some good in there. You know, you believe in the Bible. Lot said, God, if there's, 10 people in there, spare the city. And God said, okay. And sure enough, because Lot believed ignorantly, just like many of you do, that Hamas and Palestine are not the same. Oh, yes, they are. The overwhelming majority are. And now you see the likes of Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens coming out there and saying, oh, the atomic bomb was such a horrible thing because how many innocent people died? That's a globalistic mindset. You mark my words. That is a globalistic mindset. That is not America first. Oh, the poor people of Japan. Well, last I checked, the government declared war on America after sinking a lot of our ships and murdering a lot of our sailors in Pearl Harbor. But no, we should feel bad because we dropped an atomic bomb on innocent people. Does it suck? Yes, it does. It's horrible. That's why war should be avoided at all costs. But this is the one thing that a lot of you don't seem to get, and that's to include Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens, that in this age that we live in, it's us or them. They pulled the trigger first. We responded accordingly. It ended the war early. And then they try and make this thing of like, oh, well, they were in the process of probably already trying to surrender. I don't give a damn. I don't care. But it's interesting to me how Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens, race grifter extraordinaire, now come out there trying to question the normal narrative. And Candace Owens, of course, converts to Catholic, and that's a big deal now. It's like, go ahead, go worship the Catholic dogma. I don't give a shit. They can have you for all I care. And then they try painting, you know, Germany. Go look at her tweets, folks. They try painting Germany pre and post World War II as if they're the victims, trying to justify the war that the Third Reich created. And what do we do? What do we do? This is what I love about people like California. Stop being Jewish cucks. Islam hates us, but I don't see you guys saying anything about that. And what did Christ say when he was hanging on the cross? See, this is what I'm talking about. You anti-Semites, you try and misconstrue this idea of saying, you know, leave people alone, do what you want as, oh, you're cucks for them, because you don't even know what it is you're talking about. Christ said on the cross, forgive them, Father, they don't know what they're doing. So if Christ, the Son of God, speaking to his Father above, who is on the cross dying, can turn around and say, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do, then who are you to deny Christ and his decision or his appeal to his Father? Well, they hate Christians. Everybody hates Christians. So let me see the same type of tenacity from your types against Islam, against the Catholic Church. Let me see that, because I don't see any of it. It's easy to pick on the Jews. I'd like to see some of you actually getting out there after Islam. They actually murder more people than Jews did. But no, we can't have that. These freaking anti-Semites are the stupidest people out there. You can take the position that I take of like, I don't want to send Israel money. I certainly don't want to send them troops. But this idea is like, oh, it's because they're dirty Jews. The fuck does that even mean? Blows my mind. It's anti-Semitism. But here's the beautiful part. This is social media. It's not real. Twitter is not real. So the thing that I love about this, Jews have guns in America. And if you try anything, I'd love to see some of you try it. I'd love to see some of you try it. Blows my mind. Blows my mind. But that's going to be like, oh, John loves Jewish. I just don't care. I just don't care. I'm still waiting to see proof on all this stuff. California, no, that's not anti-Semitic. Cut off all money to Israel. I agree. Shut down the Jewish lobbies. I think all lobbies should be shut down. I agree. That is not anti-Semitic. That's what I'm saying. There's a fine line here between I just hate Jews versus like Jewish nepotism. There is a difference there, and I agree with you on that. But I'd love to see some of these same people out there saying the same thing for other religions as well. I agree with that. I don't want to see any religion infect our government, regardless of which it is. I want church and state separate. Trump defends Johnson as Marjorie Taylor Greene pushes to oust speaker. This is where it's so complex now. I should say it's complicated, because Marjorie Taylor Greene is one of the biggest Trump supporters there are. Now, Marjorie Taylor Greene, whom I don't really care for that much, she's kind of like the soccer mom Karen of Congress, but the thing I do respect about her is that she goes to bat for the J6ers. She does. She does. I respect that. But when you turn around and you got someone like Donald Trump that backs Mike Johnson, that is, and this is what I don't get. People love Trump, but Trump supports Israel. Hardcore. Johnson sends money to Israel, and the America First movement that supposedly is behind him says nothing. I'm at a loss. I'm just at a loss. It's crazy to me. Former President Donald Trump has come to House Speaker Mike Johnson's defense as Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene pushes for Louisiana Republicans' ouster from the leadership position. Well, look, we have a, this is what Trump said. Well, look, we have a majority of one, okay? Trump told radio host John Fredericks on Monday. It's not like he can go and do whatever he wants to do. He certainly has the ability as far as what bills he wants to bring to the floor. Does he not? Last I checked, and by the way, all this money going to Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan, and yet zero for the border. What do we get for the border? What do we get for the border? Now listen to Trump, how he defends Johnson. It's not like he can go and do whatever he wants to do. I think he's a very good person. You know, he stood very strongly with me and on NATO when I said NATO has to pay up. It's a tough situation when you have. Well, yes, I agree with that. But just because somebody supported you in the past doesn't mean you have to blindly follow them now. That, you know, that's not what loyalty is. That is not what loyalty is. But when people don't want to call Trump out for this, this is what you get. It's like, well, you know, Johnson's backed me in the past. He's been a big supporter of your favorite president. Your favorite. Johnson's sending your money. Johnson's sending your money. Fredericks is asked says, I think he's a very good man. I think he's trying very hard. And again, we got to have a big election. Fredericks is asked, presumptive GOP nominee who spent earlier Monday in a Manhattan courtroom listening to his defense and prosecutors opening statements in Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's hush money criminal trial, how he squares this divided with MAGA and Mike Johnson. Trump did praise Johnson for having secured a part of the package that Ukraine would receive more than $9 billion of economic assistance in form of forgivable loans. Forgivable loans. Do we not learn this during COVID? The same lockdowns Trump supported, the PPP loans, where billions in fraud occurred with your money, folks. With your money, your taxpayer money. Forgivable loans. Okay, that's what we're calling it now. So now, pretty much, we are the subsidy program for the world. We're the welfare program for the world is what it turns into. So folks, make sure you work hard. Make sure you pay your taxes because a lot of people around this world, they depend on it. But as for you, get fucked. Just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. We've got to elect some people in Congress, much more than we have right now, Trump continued. We have to elect some good senators. Get rid of, you know, well, who, Trump? The ones you back are straight garbage. Oz? Come on, dude, stop. Get rid of some of the ones we have now, like Romney and others. You backed Romney. You backed Mike Romney. We have to have a big day, and we have to win the presidency. If we don't win the presidency, I'm telling you, I think our country could be finished. We're absolutely a country in decline. Oh, we're in decline. We're not finished, but we are certainly in decline. Absolutely. Decline. Like, here's the thing. What would you say we're in decline from? Culturally? Economically? Well, economically, you're in favor of sending our money to other places. You back Mike Johnson doing it. Culturally, you allow trans nonsense into your beauty pageants. There's nothing conservative about this. So it's like, yeah, we need to win. To do what? To do what? Everything you stand for is in opposition to what conservatism truly... What are you conserving? And Biden's even worse. Biden's a coward. At least, I will give Trump this. At least he does openly back Israel. Biden's just kind of like, oh, man, I don't know what... I don't know if I should back Palestine. I don't know if I should back Israel. Well, technically, of the position you're in, we are signed allies with Israel. Now, you don't have to like that. That's fine. A lot of people don't. I feel like $3 billion annually is also too much. It's ridiculous. Green is a strong, This is from Marjorie Taylor Greene. Greene is a strong Trump ally and called Johnson to resign after the House passed a $95 billion foreign aid package that includes about $61 billion for Ukraine, or she would move to have him ousted as Speaker. Mike Johnson's leadership is over. He needs to do the right thing and resign to allow all of us to move forward in a controlled process, she told Fox News Sunday morning. If he doesn't do so, he will be vacated. And again, Mike Johnson instantly went over to Democrats to try and put into place a new rule that one person cannot call or make a motion to vacate. Because Johnson's trying to, you know, secure his spot because he knows they're coming for him now. And then the likes of Dan Crenshaw comes out. There's like, you know, you can't sit there and undermine a constitutionally protected process. Like, well, Dan, he's sending money. He voted in favor of the FISA. Well, like, bro, this guy's already violating, what was it, which amendment? I forget which one it is. So this guy's not following the Constitution, but then when he wants to go out there and change the rules, I mean, that's what a Democrat does. That's what Democrats do. How many times you got to be slapped in the face and make to wake up? But then you got people like Sean Hannity out there and Glenn Beck that are just praising this nonsense, and they're not going to go near it. They're not going to go near it. Oh, God, no, because they know why. They know where their bread is buttered. Don't say anything. Don't say anything against Trump, because if you do, you're going to lose subscribers. You're going to lose all this other stuff. Though Johnson has drawn ire from House conservatives for working across the aisle to secure deals with President Biden on federal spending, government spying, and most recently Ukraine, the political environment has changed since House Speaker Kevin McCarthy was removed from speakership over similar frustrations last October. Inching closer to the November election, Republicans maintain a slimmer majority after McCarthy resigned from the House after his ouster as Speaker, and Representative George Santos was expelled from the lower chamber of Congress. Reps Thomas Massie and Paul Gosar voiced support of Green's motion to vacate Johnson from the speakership last week. Good for a lot of respect for Thomas Massie. A lot of respect for him. Representative Bob Good, head of House Freedom Caucus, who supported McCarthy's ouster, told The Hill he's opposed to booting Johnson from the top job. So, my judgment and estimation is that this is not the time to do that, Good reportedly said. When is the time to do it? When? When is the right time? How much of our money do they have to give away before you say, you know what, it's the right time. After the election, that we don't know if we're going to win or not. Just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. And listen to this. This is the best thing about this part, folks. House Democrats signal voting intentions on Mike Johnson's ouster. So Democrats are saying, if you do a call to vacate, and these Republicans are going to be, you know, it's going to be split with the Republicans, what do you think Democrats are going to do? Now, you've already got a speaker that's worked with them, given them everything they pretty much want. How do you think they're going to vote when it comes for a motion to vacate? What do you think they're going to do? You know what they're going to do. In a surprising twist of political solidarity, some House Democrats have indicated a willingness to support Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson amidst a brewing ouster attempt by far-right GOP members. Over the weekend, key Democratic voices expressed their conditional backing of Johnson, spotlighting the complex dynamics within Congress. Representative Ro Cannon out of California articulated his support during an appearance on ABC's This Week, where he stated, I would actually vote to table any motion to vacate him. Kind of often critical, because they're getting what they want. They're getting what they want. Why are they going to turn off the spigot? They're going to absolutely get a side against his removal, his call to vacate. Of course you're not going to want to back that. Democrats are getting everything they want. But this is what toothless Republicans create. Further support came from Representative Jared Moskowitz, Democrat out of Florida, on Fox News Sunday. Moskowitz criticized far-right faction within his party, led by Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, for their disruptive tactics, which he believes could strengthen adversaries like Russia. Moskowitz implied his opposition to any moves to unseat Johnson aligned with Connor's perspective. So now if you get rid of Johnson, you're helping Putin. Don't you love how they fabricate those dynamics? Isn't that always beautiful? Like, if you don't do this, you must therefore hate this. If you don't want to keep Mike Johnson in place, then you must love Vladimir Putin. That's a fallacy. Green, a vocal opponent of aid to Ukraine, has declared her intent to file a motion to vacate Johnson's position, signaling potential upheaval in the coming days. As the situation unfolds, the political landscape in the House remains fraught with tension. Mark my words, Marjorie Taylor Greene is flexing right now, but eventually, I think she's waking up, but she's also hardcore Trump. So Marjorie's eventually going to have to pick one of two things. Either you just fall in line with Trump, and you do as he tells you, which I think she already does, or eventually you're going to have to essentially break it off and be like, okay, I'm on my own now. Like, I love Trump, but this isn't right. And if Marjorie does that, she will garnish a lot of support. She will get a lot of support. If Marjorie could just pull away from Trump and stick with the Constitution, she'd be a firebrand. She'd be a powerhouse. But all that energy she spends in defending Donald Trump, well, now she's going against Trump's guy. Now, you got to remember what happened. Trump wanted Marjorie to fall in line with as far as voting McCarthy out. Remember that? When she, like, had him on the phone, handed the phone over to, like, who was? I forget who it was. Was it Gates? Marjorie's Trump's guy or girl, whatever. But, I mean, do you think Marjorie's waking up? When she goes after somebody like Mike Johnson, that's a Trump guy? I mean, I don't know. Could very well be. Do I think she's ever going to leave Trump camp? Absolutely not. I don't think so. Facebook interfered with U.S. elections almost 40 times since 2008, study says. Facebook has interfered with U.S. elections almost 40 times since 2008, according to a study conducted by the Media Research Center. Among the group's findings are Facebook censured 2024 presidential candidates, including Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and 2022 Senate and House candidates on their platform. For example, the company removed Virginia gubernatorial candidate Amanda Chase's account. The company also shuttered political advertising 1 week before the election in 2020, according to MRC's analysts. In addition, MRC said there were at least three times when Facebook leadership publicly voiced support for online free speech but took a different path afterward. Zuckerberg voiced support for free speech online, but after the remarks, the big tech platform went in the opposite direction, wrote MRC Free Speech America Vice President Dan Schneider and editor Gabriel Parizeau, who conducted the study. But following a series of so-called civil rights audits conducted by the left, COO Sheryl Sandberg praised the leftist recommendations and committed to put more of their proposals into practice, which she did, they also wrote. The group outlined a series of recommendations for government leaders in the state and federal level in response to Facebook's election track record. House Speaker Johnson should direct relevant committees and committee chairmen to investigate Facebook for interfering in elections. State attorneys, yeah, I'm sure we'll get that. State legislators should ensure that big tech cannot engage in viewpoint discrimination. I get tired of reading these articles because it's like, all right, whatever. Like, you're not going to do anything. You never do. Congress always, they have a history of doing this. They're going to virtue signal about, you know, blah, blah, blah. You shouldn't be able to do this. That's election interference. And then you do literally nothing about it. So it's kind of like I'm over listening to this BS. It doesn't matter to me anymore. You say one thing, you get these sound bites, you post to your social media, it's like, ooh, I'm voting for so-and-so because they grilled Zuckerberg. Ooh. Nothing happens. You had your chance to get rid of Article 230. You didn't. You didn't. Yeah. This episode is brought to you by ShellShockCBD.com. By the way, we're still running our 420 special. Code 420 is going to save you 20% site-wide. What are you waiting for? God knows we need it in this day, don't we? Good Lord. Code 420 is going to save you 20% site-wide. This is until the 26th and the sale ends. You want to stock up? You want to go see what we're about? Go to shellshockcbd.com. We have the Sleepy Time Gummies. We've got Delta 8, Delta 9. We've got vapes. We've got pet chews, pet CBD. We have a great variety of products. Again, everything on the website is marked down by 20% using code 420. We've got CBD products. Well, what kind of CBD products? Well, I'll tell you. We got CBD oils with a variety of flavors. We have isolate, full spectrum. Oh, excuse me. And we've got the gummies. We got everything. Broad spectrum, full spectrum, isolate. Very, very reasonably priced. We have grape, cherry, vanilla, citrus, peppermint, Irish cream, lot of great, amazing flavors. What does CBD oil do? Well, it doesn't cure cancer. It's not going to fix those things a lot of these people go out there and say it does. It's for anxiety and stress. It's going to help you chill out. It's a great mood enhancer. No, it's not going to get you high. That's what the Delta 8 and Delta 9 are for. So again, we have Delta 8 oil. We have gummies, Delta 8 snacks, Delta 8 vapes, starter packs. We even got Delta 9. Did you know that we also have apple cider gummies, ashwagandha gummies, all kinds of other stuff? We have a lot of great products over there. Our wellness packages. It's wonderful. Again, shellshockcbd.com. Check it out. It's great for you. You can go to our product finder. And also say like maybe you don't know what to do. Well, when you go to the website, there's a quiz that pops up. And, or you scroll down and it says, find your perfect CBD. What are you looking for? Let's just click sleep. Loading your results right there on the website. And then these are the products right there for sleep. We've got rack out gummies. We've got hemp tea, lavender chamomile. And then we have the bath salts. These are great for relaxing. Or say like you got daily stress. Click on that. You've got Halo gummies. You've got CBD oil. You've got dark matter chocolate. You've got a lot of great products right here. Physical discomfort. It's going to take you to our topicals. Roll on. Topical thunder. CBD oil. We got it all. Folks, again, code 420. Save you 20% off. All right, let's get back into it. John Fetterman. Listen to what he has to say here. Talking about one of the most surprising people out there. Like, he just really continues to surprise me. It doesn't mean I like the guy, but listen to what he says here. Hold on. This is in reference to Palestine. Now, Fetterman's also a massive Israel supporter. Let's listen to what he has to say.
Until we can bring the hostages home, you know, I don't think the situation in Gaza can get better for anybody until we can just say, hey, we have to send them all home, and why can't Hamas provide any kind of proof of life? I was on the record by saying that the attack from Iran was kind of, it was just a demonstration where they felt like after Israel wasted a couple Iranian generals, and that was great. But now they had to put something out, and they don't want to escalate. They understand that they can't afford to take on Israel, and certainly not us. So they had that. It was all put down, and then Israel responded with something to send the similar kind of message where it's like, we react, but we're not going to escalate, and I think we're at that place now where everyone understands. I am not going to be in a position to tell Israel what I should do. That's their choice, and I certainly hope none of this escalates and turns into a more widespread. But I will say is that I'm always going to choose. I would want us to follow Israel on that. That's our key ally, our special relationship. And you're surrounded by nations that underwrite terrorism and all of those things. And I was appalled that there were members of our party, Democrats, that can't even condemn Iran. And that's crazy. Well, I can't speak for anyone in the party or about Israel, but what I can say, I've been a very confirmed and consistent voice in standing with Israel throughout all this, because we can't ever forget Hamas started this, and they have chosen to do the most terrible, awful, unspeakable things, and now they have the ability, they have the power to decide today, send everyone home, and surrender, and all of the trauma, the death, and everything in Gaza can end, and you can get back on the path of peace and a two-state solution. It's like, it's completely reasonable to want a ceasefire.
East Coast Listen Boy, $1 dono, said he's speaking clearly. Well, I know, right? Thanks for the dono. Yeah, Fetterman's, I still don't agree with a lot of other things that he stands for, but the fact that he's actually coming out there in support of Israel against Hamas, this is what I'm talking about, that if Trump continues to hit this idea of the anti-Semitism that is running rampant, and don't get it twisted, folks, social media is not real life. There is a majority of people out there that do not agree with anti-Semitism. You know, the youth and the MSM outlets want you to make believe that there is. No, it doesn't have the support that people think it does. But Trump has another opportunity here to hit Biden as hard as he can and say, look, all this anti-Semitism, all the insanity that we have, the supporting terrorist organizations, this was you. This was you because you don't have the balls to stand there and be a president that believes in something. what we see from these elected leaders these days, this is like milquetoast fence sitting. You're trying to please both sides. You're not going to. When it comes to Israel versus Gaza or Palestine, whatever you want to call it, you have to pick one. There's no supporting both. You can't. Especially as president. So Biden talks about like wanting to Israel to just, you know, when Iran hits them, then they say, well, Israel, you know, you have the audacity to tell Israel, be slow to react. Somebody walks up and punches your girlfriend or wife in the face, and they look at you and say, hey, be slow to react. Don't overdo it. No, maybe it's time that we did resort to more violence. Violence works. I'm telling you, violence works. Don't listen to these stupid liberals and these milquetoast types. Violence is never the answer. Yes, the hell it is. Oh, absolutely it is. I'm good for Fetterman on this one. Now, Columbia denies campus access to Jewish pro-Israel professor. Professor Shaya Davidie, a Jewish Israeli who has led a counter-protest against anti-Israel demonstration at Columbia University, was denied access to the main campus on Friday, ostensibly for his own safety from an anti-Israel mob. Now, apparently it was brought to my attention. This guy has also tweeted out things about he hates cops or something along the lines that he doesn't trust cops. They kill more black people than whites, yada, yada, yada. This is something that's kind of like, I feel like at face value, it's like, that sucks. But then I'm wondering if that he couldn't go on campus because the police are like, well, we're not going to, no, you've criticized us. We don't want anything to do with you. You're on your own. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Either way, Israel-born Shai Deve, an assistant professor at Columbia Business School, an outspoken supporter of the Jewish state, was told that his idea had been deactivated. Even a massive new tent city sprang up on the Morningside Heights campus with some 200 protesters, all of whom have had to use their Columbia IDs to get in. He said administrators told him they banned him from campus because they could not ensure his safety. University administrators turned a blind eye to the new protest camp days after calling the NYPD to break up a previous protest and haul away the protesters. As Breitbart News reported, Columbia has been a hotbed of explicitly pro-terror and anti-Semitic rhetoric. A local rabbi told Jewish students to return home for their own safety, and classes were moved online on Monday. Good Lord. What the hell's happening? A growing chorus of legislators, including Representative Richie Torres, Democrat out of New York, said that if Columbia President Manuel Shafik could not protect students from illegal protesters, she should resign. There's a lot of people coming out against this. Like, Columbia University is now in the news. Look at this right here. You got Columbia University responds after Robert Kraft says he's pulling support over anti-Semitic violence. Columbia University told Fox Business on Tuesday that it is grateful for Robert Kraft's years of generosity and service after the New England Patriots team owner announced he is pulling financial support to his alma mater over the anti-Semitic protests unfolding there. We saw this with Harvard, MIT, the rest of them. Now you people that are donating are saying, no, we're done. We're done with this. You even got the likes. This is how crazy it is, folks. You get the likes of Michael Rapaport. He calls Columbia anti-Israel protest an embarrassment to New York City. Well, and this is a guy that adamantly hates Trump. Listen to what he has to say here. I haven't heard this yet, but yeah.
Happy Passover to everybody. I never, ever, ever thought that I would even think to need to be or have to be speaking about what's going on right over here in New York City. If this was a group of people screaming against tall people, short people, black people, Spanish people, Asian people, people with big noses, big feet, and little noses, this would be stopped ASAP. This is not the New York way. This is an embarrassment to New York City. That's right. This is an embarrassment to the city of New York. It is, This is a stain that historically, it will go down in history as an embarrassing time to New York. I want to also make sure that as ridiculous as these people are across the street, as offensive as these people are across the street, agenda number 1 through 133 is to free our hostages. Yeah. That is the most important thing. These are bullies. These are bullies. These are cowards. These are pathetic, low-life scumbags. That's as bad as I'm going to curse.
You know what's ironic about all this is that he's part of this movement that helps spawn these people, these things, these creatures, these cretins. He's part of this. He helped this. This was him. This was him. You empowered this with all the nonsense that you espoused for so long, all this insanity, this leftist wokeism. It's nice to see you turn around and say, hey, well, you know, these are bullies, blah, blah, blah. Well, Michael, you helped this. You were on this side. This is who you chose to align yourself with. And then you have the audacity to sit there and act shocked. When conservatives are like, you're still a piece of crap. Biden administration restarts deportation flights to Haiti as gangs begin violent takeover. The Biden administration sent its first deportation flight to Haiti in months. Thursday, despite the island becoming engulfed in bloodthirsty gang violence that has taken over large parts of the country, according to Border Report. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, flew roughly 50 Haitians back to the Caribbean nation, operating the first deportation flight to Haiti since January of 2023, when the flights had been operating on a monthly basis, according to witnesses at the border, which tracks deportation flights. 50? Wow. How much does it cost to, like, get a flight over there? That's, yeah, okay. Great. Wonderful. How'd they get here? Why do they come? So, again, that's taxpayer money, getting those flights over there. The plane left Alexandria, Louisiana, a hub for deportation operations, and arrived in Cap Haitien, Haiti, after a stop in Miami, according to the group. Gotta love it. Meanwhile, armed gangs continue their siege on Haiti and attacked parts of the country's capital, Port-au-Prince, Sunday ahead of the installation. Did you see that article? Did you see the videos of Afghani migrants in, what was it? Was it France? Where was this? Was it France or England? Literally, I think it was Paris. Walking, a group of Afghanis, men, all men, military age males, walking through the streets, destroying stuff. Hundreds of them. Hundreds of them. This is what you get. Now, it's the Jews we're worried about. I'm telling you right now, folks, mark my word, it's not the Jews, it's the Muslims. It's the Muslims. Now, I'm not saying all Muslims. I have a lot of Muslim friends. But I am talking about there is a militant group of Muslims that want to reestablish the caliphate and they want global Islam. They talk about this all the time. Now, the Jews can hate Christians, as our friend in the chat so eloquently put it. Yuda Reamer, personal friend of mine, sits right here across from him. I'm going to have him on the show again. Personal friend. Does he hate Christians? There's a lot of Jews that I know and I trust. They don't hate Christians. But this is the narrative these types want to spin for you. That if they don't agree with Christianity, they therefore must hate it. That all Jews hate Christ. That's not the case. Do all Christians hate Jews? Do all Christians hate Allah? It's easy to generalize. Very easy to generalize. I don't agree with their religion, either of them. I agree with Christianity, but that's as far as it goes. Yeah, way to go, Paris, though. Way to go, Europe. You import them, you bring them over. These refugees from third world countries that are war-torn, they don't embrace your values. They don't embrace your culture. Instead, they want to bring their culture to you. That's how you eliminate culture. It looks like you have a Parisian culture that goes back thousands of years. And then you have this culture from, let's just say, Afghanistan. Two completely separate cultures, right? Fair enough. Be they good or bad, that's up to the individual. But still, two different cultures. I've experienced both. Then you've got Afghanis going to Paris, trying to destroy their Parisian culture and interject their own culture. This is why multiculturalism does not work. The reason that America's dealing with, though, with this so strongly, America, I don't feel, has had a very, I mean, we have had a grounded culture of, like, you know, warm apple pie, baseball, blah, 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 blah. But that's been attacked. That's been attacked repeatedly. Crash Band with a $5 dono says, the people running the U.S. government can't bring the U.S. people to the wars. Let's just bring the wars to the USA. Plebs using U.S. tax dollars is not going anywhere. It's not. It's not. We've got an open southern border. We've got all the stuff going on right now. Gangs in Haiti. Go figure. Haitian culture. More third world nonsense. Close the borders. Let them fight it out. Let them destroy. Let them murder each other by the bushels. Not our problem. Americans have enough to deal with that our current representation are not actually dealing with, might I add. Illinois Library hosting a pronoun seminar for children considering cross-dressing sex change surgery. Public Library in Illinois will be hosting a pronoun seminar for children considering cross-dressing and sex change surgeries. Yeah, folks, this is where we're at. Seminar will feature Dr. Courtney Wells and Lee Walls, co-authors of A Kid's Book About Pronouns. An announcement from the library describes Courtney and Lee as a married lesbian couple from... Oh, there it is. There it is. There you go. That's why. From Chicago, who are committed to justice and inclusivity for their own and all kids. Courtney prefers pronouns they, them, while Lee prefers she, her. It started with let them get married. Fine. Everybody has that right. You do your thing. But then... it goes into the, it progresses into this nonsense, this insanity. From a public library, no less. And then lastly, did you see the tensions as Georgia beach town cracks down on black spring break bash? Did y'all see this? I don't know if y'all have watched any of this.
Stirring tensions. Last year's event saw chaos, prompting the island's strict measures. While officials claim it's for safety, critics argue it unfairly targets black visitors. The island's racial history adds complexity, with past segregation lingering in the predominantly white community. While the crackdown may aim for safety, it risks exacerbating racial divides. Balancing safety and inclusivity remains a challenge for the island, with the outcome uncertain. If you like this video...
It's crazy. It's always the racism. Georgia Beach town cracks down on black spring break. I think there was Tybee. Was it Tybee Island that had a massive fight breakout? Was it there? Or Hilton Head? It was probably Tybee. Either way, it's always about racism. It's always about race. Racism is always the issue. It's always at the core of what everything is about, right? Come on. That's ridiculous. But it is what it is. All right, folks, that does for today's episode of the All-American Savage Show podcast. Appreciate your love and support. Appreciate you being here. Again, don't forget about the sale. 420 saves you 20% off site-wide until the 26th. Don't sleep on this. Don't wait on this. Jump on it. Trivia, if you've been interested in trying out some products, now's the time to do it. You're getting 20% off. You can't beat that. Go check it out. We appreciate you. We love you. Don't forget to share the episode. Or if you could, go leave us a review on iTunes. That does help out quite a lot. Appreciate you. We'll be back tomorrow at the same time. Actually, no, I will not be here tomorrow. I have something planned. But I will be back Thursday. So we appreciate you. Love you. Glad to be back. I'll see you again Thursday at the same time, 12 p.m. CST with Josh here, hopefully, as well. Until then, you stay savage, America.